Luke chapter 19, a very famous story, a man called Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a very little man. Right, okay, enough. Luke chapter 19, Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. Say, pass that way. Jesus was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and he called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus into his house in great excitement and joy. But there were people there displeased. He had gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, and they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Surely this man has been touched by God. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this house today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. We've heard this morning stories of missions, of men and women who have left home and went across to other places. Mission, I believe, is at the heart of God. Mission is at the heart of God. When we look at the life of Jesus, we see a man on a mission. We see a man who had a mission. Your mission, should you accept it, is, as always, should any of your IM forces be caught or killed, the secretary will disavow any knowledge of your actions. This tape will self-destruct in. Who remembers that film? Mission Impossible. Mission Impossible. Great film. But you know, I believe there is a call of God on our lives today for the mission of God. The good news, Jesus did accept his mission. Jesus came to this earth because he loved this world. He gave his life for this world. His Father loved us. And he sent Jesus. Jesus gave up one kingdom, being with his Father, and came to this earth to walk among unclean, godly, notorious sinners like you and I. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In our mess, God says, I want them. In your mess, God is saying, I want you. God is saying, never disqualify yourself. Zacchaeus, a notorious sinner, he had a reputation. And God took a man with a notorious reputation and he changed his heart. That is what an encounter with God will do. That is what an encounter with God to do. If Jesus' mission statement, if he put on, this is what I am all about. I have come to seek and save the lost. I was lost, and now I'm found. I was blind, and now I see. Anyone here at one point in your life where you lost, and Jesus found you? You know, Zacchaeus trying to get a glimpse, trying to get a view of Jesus. And you know, we say that men are seeking God, but let me tell you, not a lot of people are seeking God. You know, Romans chapter 3 tells us that they weren't interested in seeking God. We weren't interested in seeking a savior. But Jesus came and sought out us. Jesus came and sought out you. He sought out Zacchaeus. He sought out the woman at the well. You know, people discarded by society. And Jesus says, that's my kind of people. That is my kind of people. Sinful, self-centered, Zacchaeus met Jesus and was transformed. He must have been. because he opened his wallet. He opened his wallet. A seeking man was found. Jesus was seeking him. And Jesus was passing through Jericho because I believe there was an appointment. And I believe you may be here today. And I believe this is your tree today. And Jesus is going to pass by you today. And he is going to issue a call on your life. You may be here today and you don't know Jesus. Well, let me tell you, his call is upon your life. He is coming. Follow me. Follow me. Where are you? Where are you? Jesus came to seek and save those who were lost. That was his mission. That was his mission. The only way for mankind to be restored back to God, the only way that we could be forgiven of the stain of sin on our lives, was through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross for you and for me. Jesus kept his focus on the mission. Many people, even his own family, were saying, "You're off your head. What on earth are you doing? You're mad." People were coming and trying to distract and challenge and accuse, but Jesus was focused on his mission. Jesus was focused. There was other places, and so Jesus left places and went to other places because he had a mission. Peter denied him. "You were with Jesus." "No, not me. I mean, serving Jesus for 3 years. And then someone coming and saying, you're one of his men, aren't you?" "No, not me. Not me." 3 times. And Jesus says, "You're going to deny me." Goodness me, all hope lost for Peter. No way. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his grace. You know, and for us who have messed up, for us who are looking at our lives and thinking, would God call me? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. God's call is on you. The mission, denying ourselves, taking up our cross and following Jesus. You know, more and more, I am understanding a bit of what the cost in following Jesus is. And I believe, I am praying that God will give us more of a revelation of what is the cost. Men and women dying, losing their life. We may not lose our life physically in this nation. We get prejudice and other things coming. People not believing, "Don't tell me any of that rubbish. You're a Bible thumper. You are this." But there's men and women losing their lives. And Jesus calls us to lay down our lives. What does that look like for me? What does that look like for you? That is your journey. What does following Jesus look like for you? Not your spouse or the person beside you. What does it look like for you? Sharing the love of Jesus with our broken world. Ministers of reconciliation, that is who we are. We are ministers of reconciliation, finding the lost and pointing them to the one that can transform their lives. It's Jesus. It's gone awful quiet in here. Any followers of Jesus in the house? Yes. Anyone willing to lay down their lives for Christ? Don't put your hand up too quickly. "All to Jesus I surrender some. I surrender all." And let me say, this is a journey. This is a journey. You don't have a pastor up here who has surrendered all to God. There is times when God puts his finger on things in my life. "Stephen, I need you to surrender that. I need you to surrender that." And so I am always open to being challenged by God, by the Holy Spirit who comes and says, "I want another part. I want another part." It's a journey. It is a journey. It is a journey. We've heard stories of mission. We've heard of people who have lost their lives. And I believe for today, for the church, there is an urgency in the times. Do you know, I believe that there's an urgency. Do you know, Annette and I, we've been praying for years for revival. soon as we became Christians, 17, I was, as I became a Christian, 10 years ago. A long time ago. Just praying and seeking God for change in my life and revival to come. And we have been praying nonstop just for God's Holy Spirit to be poured out on these days. You know, I was praying that that would happen in Glasgow. I was praying that God would help Annette and I plant a church in Cambus Lang where revivals have taken place. And God says, no, Stephen, Cambus Lang is not your place. Dundee is the place where I am placing you and Annette. Because I believe Dundee and this nation of Scotland is on the cusp, is that the word? Of an outpouring of God in this nation. Why is it that as you talk to people, even beside you, do you know, God, or I felt just to come to Dundee. God's brought me here because of my job. God's brought me here because of this. You are here, I believe, for such a time as this. And you know, I would say, don't quickly pass through this place. Linger. Do you know, this? Get a job here. Get a job here. Stay here. If you don't stay here, you're going to miss the outpouring of God on your life. No, that's called manipulation. That's manipulation. Do you know, there's a verse that says, I think in Samuel, when the Spirit of God came upon Saul, he became a different person. He became a different person. And it's all to do with the Spirit of God. As he comes on your life, and I believe you become a different person. There is a call for believers, a call for men and women to answer the call of mission, wherever your mission field would be, to be that ambassador, to be that minister of reconciliation. And one of our mission directors, Ian Hesketh, he had made a short video, and I just thought, wow, that is just what probably sums up what I want to say today. And so I'm going to ask her, can we play that video there? Just have a watch of this. Just turn the volume up slightly.
The call comes with a cost. For those of you who know the story of Vumba, you'll know only too well the ultimate cost of following Jesus for our missionaries who were serving in Rhodesia. See, that story isn't unique. Many followers of Jesus throughout the ages have given their life, their very life, in refusal to deny Jesus, but in obedience to Jesus. See, for you and I, it may not cost us our life physically, literally, in this moment. But be under no illusion, the call to follow Jesus is costly. It will mean that we lay down our agenda, our will, our desire, our goals for our life in order that we might pick up his. But also, let me just encourage you that actually to follow Jesus wholeheartedly, to follow that call and to count the cost, is the most liberating, the most life-giving, the most fulfilling thing that anyone could ever do. Jesus said, if you want to hold on to your life, you'll lose it. If you lay your life down for me, you will gain it. Having heard the call of Jesus, we have to count the cost. There is a cost to following Jesus. The call of Jesus is wonderful and magnificent. It is full of hope and life. And yet, there is also a cost to it. You see, for many of us, we may never face the threat of death for following Jesus. We may never be put on the spot and asked to deny him. With a veiled threat of violence, we may never face that, and yet we deceive ourselves if we don't count the cost. Jesus asked Peter three times, "Well, do you love me?" And I think the same call for us, or the same challenge for us today, is, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than your life? Do you love me more than your job? Do you love me more than your career? Do you love me more than your family? Do you love me more than your church? Do you love me more than your position? Do you love me more than your car? Do you love me more than your bike? Do you love me more than your computer? Do you love me more than your... you fill in the blank. There is a cost to following Jesus. But that cost is so worth it, because he is life itself. And we know, for those who are in Christ Jesus, even if our life is taken, it is not the end. It is not the it does not have the final say. You see, Jesus conquered the grave, and he is the resurrected Savior. And so for everybody who dies in him, he is the resurrection and the life. The counting the cost is so, so worth it. The wonderful thing about responding to the call and counting the cost is that we don't do this life on our own. We don't walk with Jesus alone. It's not just a you and Jesus thing. It's not just a me and Jesus thing. It's a Jesus and us thing. It's us together collectively in community. You see, the counting the cost and following the call is done in relationship with one with another and with God. He invites us to participate in the greatest community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the unity of the Godhead. We as individuals and collectively get to participate in this great community, and we get to demonstrate what that looks like on earth as it is in heaven. You see, we are called to walk together and work together and encourage one another. That's why over the last few months, it has been such a privilege for us to see this expression of family delivered through our ERA appeal. We have been able to work with our partners on our family overseas, Elam family overseas, to meet the needs of some of the most deprived people on the earth. And it's a great joy to be able to invite you, if you've not done so already, to contribute into this great work. We're in this together. When one suffers, we all suffer. You see, this global pandemic has affected us all. And yet, for those of us who are called to be in Christ Jesus, we have an opportunity to demonstrate to a watching world what it is to love one another, even if the one another is in a far-flung place, across borders, across oceans, where we together can serve one another because we love one another. And may it send a powerful message to a watching world.
Thank you, Father. Can we stand together? You know, when I watched that, and yes, that message came out during the COVID and pandemic times, but this is a call that will not stop. I'm going to ask the band if they'll come back. Just playing quietly, thank you. But where are you? Where are you with God? Come on, let's just begin just to be talking to God. Be talking to God. Our kids' club is just about finished, so if you've got kids there, just in a minute or so, this will be the time to go and collect your kids. But please come back. Come back and just be in this atmosphere, I believe, of what God is wanting to do. We're just going to just wait just for a minute. Come on, be still and know that he is God. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul, and he became a different person. Do you know, and it's not for me to coerce, to manipulate, to get you forward, to get you to answer the call of God. It's the Holy Spirit's job. And even now, I believe Holy Spirit is just moving in people's hearts. He is speaking to you, that you sense just a stirring in your life, Even as you feel that stirring, you're not necessarily getting the whole plan, but I believe that God is putting things in your heart, seeds. And we are living in times when I believe there's a fast track because of the urgency of the times. There is an acceleration of growth that's going to happen in your life because of the call. Do you know, someone once says, the need is a call. The need is a call. And I believe as you go about your daily business, you will see a need and something will happen in your heart where you will say, this is not right. God, I want to do something about this. The need will be the call. Whatever area of life that would be, abroad, here, in your place, in your hometown, in your community, the need is a call. What would Jesus say if I invited Jesus to come and stand on this platform and say, Jesus, would you speak to us? What would you say, Jesus? And I think maybe along something of these words, the call to seek and save the lost is not yet completed. You are walking past men and women every day who are lost and in need of grace, in need of truth, in need of strength, and that can only be found in me, Jesus. Broken and hurting and empty men and women, and they often don't know it. And if you here this morning, if you have received forgiveness of sin, if you have received Jesus and the new life that he gives you, you have a mission. You have a mission. Freely you have received, freely give. Let the world know that my Father offers the gift of salvation to any who would receive me and receive my grace. Will you make the mission of Jesus become your mission? Will you let the passion of Jesus become your passion? Will you waken up each day and pray this prayer, Lord, send me out into this day with a heart like yours. Use me to extend your love. Use me to extend your kingdom. Use me to share the gospel with those who are lost. Empower me. Empower me for this calling on my life, and use me for your glory. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. But I'm going to ask our team to lead us in some worship. And I want you to be open to the stirring of God in your life. Do you know, you may be here today and you don't know this Jesus. You have never had a relationship with Jesus. And maybe today, this is the day for you to say, I want to give Jesus my life. I want to give Jesus my life. You may not know what that's going to entail, but let me tell you, God will open up a whole new world for you. God will give you a purpose. God will fill you with hope. God will fill you with a call. And God, I believe, will transform your life if you just give him your heart. That's what he's asking for today, your heart. And there may be people here today, and there's gifts that has become and callings that have become dormant, but this morning as you have been listening, as you have been hearing, as you have been being in his presence, God is saying, It's time. It's time. Will you give me your heart once again? Will you give me your heart once again? And so as we worship, there's a place out here. You're standing in a place. You're seated in a place. You're sitting in a place. And I'm going to leave it with you and the Holy Spirit. Whether you stay where you are or whether you come forward. But this is about God's call on your life. This is about God's call on your life.
Thank you, Jesus. I just feel the Lord want to say to a few people here today, you know, we're talking about being lost, but I just felt the Lord say that all that is lost, I will return to you. And I just had that real sense that what is the enemy stolen from you? What is he stolen from you? It's time. Has he stolen your voice? Has he stolen your courage? Has he stolen your faith? What has he stolen from you? This is what the Lord says. This is what he said to you this morning. He's speaking this over your life. I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten,
yes,
the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent out among you. You shall eat plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. So today's the day I say to the enemy, enough is enough. Come and get serious before God and claim back all that the enemy has stolen from you this morning. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. And so, Father, this morning, we thank you for what's been shared. We thank you for what you're doing and even now what you are doing. And, Father, as we go into this time of worship, as we just minister to you through our worship, I ask that you would come and just change hearts this morning. That we would always remember that we are blessed to be a blessing wherever we would be. In Jesus' name. So bless you. Have a fantastic week. Let me encourage you just to stay for a few moments in worship. Do business with God. And let God do business with you. And whatever you sense God is asking you to do, I would encourage you to do it. Do it. Be obedient to Him. So bless you. Thank you, Fonny.